Welcome to Out There with TJ Ryan. It's strange. It's unusual. It's mysterious. It's out there, out there, out there, out there. And now your host, TJ Ryan.
I haven't talked to this fella in quite a while, but when I do talk to him, I really enjoy doing that because, I don't know, his sense of humor, him and I just seem to be on a similar wavelength. His name is David Twitchell. He's out of Trenton, Michigan. He's been a UFO investigator, well, probably, if you really want to look back to 1962, when his family saw a UFO very clearly in the night sky, and that's what got him on his search. But I'm guessing you're interested in many things. David, how you doing?
I'm doing well. How about you, DJ?
Great. Great up here in the frozen tundra, as you call it.
Yeah, really.
So it's probably been, maybe a year. I don't know how long it's been since we talked.
How about that, yeah.
And what's anything new in your life? You have any new kids or anything like that?
No, gratefully, no.
Not yet? Still working on that? Not so much anymore.
Not so much.
Now, what is the name of your show that you host? Do you still do the TV show down there?
No, well, the TV show in the downriver Michigan area, I stopped.
Okay.
I'd done it for 10 years, and I told them I was with Comcast, and I told them you can do what you want to with the DVDs of that show, and so they stopped it here in the Downriver area, and all of a sudden, I'm getting calls from other states, North Carolina, Florida, out in Texas. Hey, you're on the TV down here.
Really?
The show's on the TV down here.
No kidding.
So, I don't know. I guess they syndicated it, and didn't tell me about it.
Nice of them to include you in that, wasn't it?
Yeah. What can I say? So, fine. I don't care. I'm as long as the word gets out, you know. But I do have the show on radio on WHFR.FM on the computer. WHFR, and it's called We Are Not Alone.
And that's a once-a-month show that you do.
Once a month, the first Tuesday of each month at 1 a.m. 1 p.m. 1 p.m.
That is a live show that you do every Tuesday or once a month.
Well, I record it.
Oh, you record it. It's a live show that's recorded,
yes,
and then played back.
Right.
Just
right.
Like we're doing now.
Just like we're doing now. And it's at 1 p.m. first Tuesday each month called We Are Not Alone.
We Are Not Alone. Still linked to that site. And that's with the Filer Files. You can go in there, right, and find some of your archives?
You can go to my website, UFOimplications.com.
You know, I should know these things.
Yeah, you're thinking of a book with George Filer.
Oh, okay.
Filer's Files, Worldwide Reports of UFO Sightings.
It's one of your many books.
By the way,
David is such a respected author. He's written about 500 books.
Thank you, TJ.
Maybe not quite. What are the names of your books? I know you have the UFO Jesus Connection. That was one of them.
Yes.
And then you just named We Are Not Alone.
No, Filer's Files.
Yeah, Filer's Files, UFO Implications. And then
Global Implications of the UFO Reality.
Yeah. And any others?
I'm afraid that's it.
Okay. You're working on one right now, aren't you?
I was working on a science fiction.
Really?
But I just stopped that.
Well, you got more important things to do, like talk to me.
That's it?
Yeah. That's what I figured. So, all kidding aside, David's been an investigator, and you probably talked to... Who are some of the people that you talked to, just to refresh people's minds?
I've talked to... George Filer. I've had you on the show.
Well, that's big right there.
Yeah, that's right. And Dr. Mitchell... Edgar Mitchell.
The astronaut, okay.
Six Man to Walk on the Moon. I was very proud of that show because I was able to get to speak with
And did he talk? Did he talk about UFOs at all? That UFO incident? Didn't they have a UFO incident? With Mitchell?
Actually, no. He's never seen a UFO.
Okay.
But he understands that they exist.
Okay.
And I've talked to Stan Gordon and just recently Roger Marsh, Linda Moulton Howe.
Yeah, she's on a lot of different programs.
Dr. David Jacobs.
What is David involved in?
Well, David Jacobs is the director of the International Center for Abduction Research.
Hmm. Interesting.
And he's a professor, or was a professor, of history at Temple University. And he's regressed many abductees, alleged abductees. And he's the author of the book, The Threat.
The Threat is the name of his book. Yeah. What was, now, before, you know, I know we're going to go in a lot of directions today, but this sounds really interesting, David. What were these people saying? Because there are a lot of people have done, you know, regressions, and you hear like Bud Hopkins was like a leader and a pioneer in that.
Mm-hmm.
And now there's some backlash coming against Bud. First of all, do you think that's real about Bud Hopkins, the backlash against him?
Well, the backlash about his personal life?
The backlash about what he's doing, that a lot of it was he led, coerced people into those things. You don't believe that?
No, I don't believe that you can lead, you possibly can lead a witness or a subject into saying something, but it was evident in Betty and Barney Hill case. Dr. Simon tried to lead them away from the alien abduction scenario. Wasn't this a dream? Did you have this in a dream? And both Betty and Barney Hill, under hypnosis, said, no, this is, you know, they would not be led.
Right.
Would not be led away from. The best way to do, and the way Dr. Jacobs did, and the way Bud Hopkins did, is what happened next.
Right.
Is what happened next, and that's the best way to do it.
So you think that there's probably a group of people that are trying to create disinformation, or somebody's trying to sour things for people like Bud Hopkins. Did you find with this Dr. Jacobs, was it a similar thing that he was saying to what Bud Hopkins has said for so many years?
As to the scenario?
The scenario of being taken and what people were experiencing and how they feel about these things?
Oh, yes. There are little subtle differences in each case, but the underlying scenario is the same. They're taken. They remember consciously the beginning of the abduction, and they remember the aftermath. But the abduction and what happened during the abduction is wiped out of their mind, and that's what they they dig into during hypnosis. But according to Bud Hopkins, about 30% of his cases were conscious throughout.
Mm.
So hypnosis dug out some more information in detail, but the abduction event was all conscious.
Now we've been hearing about this for years, and you've done more on this. This is why I'm asking you, David, because you really take more of an interest, and that's something you really have focused on for years, UFO investigation. You're a member of MUFON. So do we know why we're being taken? Do you have any speculation? Is there any new message on this?
No, not really. The different scenarios seem to suggest that they're taking human samples, sperm, ova, and tissue, skin tissue, and different samples from different human beings. I'll tell you what, my sister is an abductee.
Yeah, you told me about that before.
And one thing, she went to bed one night, woke up in the morning with a terrible pain in her toe, went to the doctor with it, and he said that the joint was gone between two bones in the toe. And she said, how is that possible? It was fine the day before. And, well, he said, maybe there was arthritis that ate away at the joint, and the joint is just disintegrated. Now, what kind of sense does that make? You have arthritis in a joint, you're going to know about it for some time before the joint disappears.
Right, you would think you'd be feeling that quite a bit.
Yeah. So, and I don't think the joint would
How old was your sister at the time when this happened?
Oh, she was probably in her late 40s at the time.
So, I mean, people can get advanced arthritis at a younger age, but generally, you're not going to see that till you get much older. So.
That's right. And like I say, you're going to have some kind of warning that you got a problem with that joint.
Hey, I woke up and there's no finger today. Look at that.
Yeah. Right. Well, it must be arthritis. Just ate it away.
It just ate it away. I didn't even feel it. Didn't feel a thing. Must be all the drinking I do when I'm when I'm doing this show. You know.
That's right. What else you got to do up there on the frozen tundra?
I know. That's how we pass the time.
That's right.
So, because I've heard a lot of backlash, and I'm going to be talking to Jim Maroney probably next week or down the road, and he was a fellow that got taken in 1987. And he left the experience in a very positive way, and he wrote a book about it.
Mm-hmm.
But lately, what I've been seeing on the internet a lot and emails that sent to me that this is a very negative thing.
Mm-hmm.
And again, what is your take on that right now? Really not sure?
Well, I had a friend by the name of... David. Okay.
You got a friend by the name of David.
David, yes. We'll just call him David.
Same name as you.
Hmm. Yeah. Not me, though. It wasn't me.
Okay.
At any rate, he said that he was abducted, and first, you know, since childhood. And, of course, it was frightening.
Right.
And he remembered most of his abductions consciously. David K. Wood.
Okay.
David K. Wood. He has been...
yeah, you told me about him before.
Yeah, right. He has passed for several years. But he was abducted, and it was a terrible experience for him. And finally he said to his abductors, who gave you the right to do this to me? And they said, you did.
Hmm.
And then they showed him a scene where, before his birth, he was in spirit and agreed to come to the earth into a physical body and cooperate with these beings.
So
help them with their mission, whatever that mission may be.
So we're not sure of the mission, and you don't see them. You see them as benevolent, or neither.
It depends on the species we're talking about.
Well, the ones that are taking us.
Some of them are benevolent.
Mm.
Some of them are very indifferent. I think the small grays are that they say are so evil. I think they're just indifferent. They're just, you know, their project, whatever it is to take these samples, possibly and probably, as other evidence shows, for a hybrid race.
Mm-hmm.
Between the grays and the human beings. And that's why they need the sperm, the ovum. It also happened to my sister where she was pregnant, and then 3 months later went to the doctor and he said, you're not pregnant.
Mm, and we've heard that from a lot of people over the years.
And she had this quote-unquote dream just before this happened, or before she went to the doctor the second time, that she saw her baby laying in a sink.
Hmm.
Yeah, so that may be just part of the traumatic part of the abduction experience that's shown through consciously.
We see that you've heard over the years that they show the mother. They will show the mother their offspring.
Mm-hmm.
And you would think, why would they do that if these are, you know, beings that are benevolent? You know, maybe they do have some compassion for
right.
us.
Yeah, well, it also it showed in, I forget the name of this. It was a Bud Hopkins story. Missing Time.
Right, I think I know what you're talking about.
Anyway, that they don't understand the emotions mm-hmm. of human beings.
Mm-hmm.
And the hybrids need nurturing. And so they would abduct the mother and have them hold the baby and play with the baby and nurture the baby, because psychologically the poor kid did not know what to do in this situation on a craft or another planet or wherever they are, or another dimension. It's another thing we can't figure out. Is it extraterrestrial or other dimensional?
Mm-hmm.
I asked David Kaywood about that, and he said all three.
Mm.
Other dimensional, extraterrestrial, and extraterrestrial coming through other dimensions.
You know, that's a topic, you know, I'm sure we could spend hours on that, and I would love to go down that more, because you've talked to so many people.
Mm.
But you and I were talking about, first of all, I told you about a crop circle up here, not far from actually where I live, and you believe... you used the term that it might be genuine because it fit the description. Now, who do you think is doing these crop circles? What causes them?
Well, occupants of UFOs, whether they're extraterrestrial or other dimensional.
So you believe that that's another race that's doing that?
Yes.
And why would they be doing that? Any idea?
I think they're trying to send us a message. You know, we're here, we're real. Don't deny us.
You think they just like corn? Maybe they like corn.
Yeah, maybe. Popcorn.
They're big fans of corn and hay or wherever they do it, you know. They knock over the corn. That's kind of what I'm thinking, too. And it, to me, you know, you hear about the cattle mutilations, and I know I'm jumping around a bit. They're not connected in any way to this. You haven't never heard about people with crop circles having cattle mutilations?
Yes, Dr. Lovingood.
Lovingood?
Lovingood.
Okay.
He is a biophysicist here in Michigan, and he's well known for crop formations and also cattle mutilations. And he has found that... investigators have found as well that at the site of cattle mutilations, there is the same type of grass, you know, lying down around the corpse and whatever that goes on in crop formation.
So you think there may be a connection to those two?
Oh, yes.
No kidding.
Yes.
And... why would they? What is your speculation again? I know it's a reach, but what is your speculation on the animals when they're mutilating?
Boy, I wish I knew. I wish I knew. They have found hemoglobin out in the on the corpse of the animal that's been excised. And Lovingood says that it would take thousands of dollars worth of machinery, big machinery, to go out to that field and take that blood and spin it and work on it for hours to turn it into the hemoglobin.
Mm.
So he can understand how this bovine hemoglobin is on the... corpse of the animal. You know, if it was a predator or a satanic cult or just some vandalism or whatever, who has that kind of equipment?
Right, to do that.
And that kind of time. I mean, it happens overnight or within hours. There's some cases where the farmer has seen a particular cow or a bunch of cows over there in the field, 2 hours later, there you are. You know, you got one or two.
Why would you want hemoglobin?
Well, that's a good question.
Are these a bunch of vampires, you think, maybe?
Don't know.
Bunch of vampires that, hey, let's drink some blood. I don't think that's the case.
Probably. I think it's just another example of them wanting samples from earthly.
But they must be using it for something. I was wondering, okay, well, you've done a few mutilations. How many do you need to do to get samples? You know?
Yeah.
They must be using that for something else, don't you think, Dave?
I would think, yeah. It's like the human abductions. If they're trying to find out what makes us tick, and that makes sense. You know, if we went to another planet and found the indigenous race, we'd want to take a couple samples and see what makes them tick. But this has been going on for years and years. Haven't you learned what we're made of yet?
I know. That's what I always think. Are you dumb? Come on. You can travel through the light. You can jump into our atmosphere. You can jump out. You can travel faster than what we can do. And can't you figure out how we operate a little bit? Maybe they're not as smart as we think they are.
Who knows? I don't know. So it leads me to believe that some of the speculation as to the why behind this it doesn't pan out, and we just don't know. There's so much about this. I don't think the human brain is capable of comprehending what is going on here.
Yeah, well, maybe someday we'll figure it out. We'll understand it. Maybe it'll be revealed to us. Do you think the ones that are doing the mutilations, do you think they're a friendly group or a non-friendly group?
Well, once again, it depends on the species we're talking about. I think they're benevolent, malevolent, and indifferent races throughout the universe.
Well, if you believe there's benevolent ones, which ones can you identify? What you believe, what you've come across, what people have told you?
I think the ones they call the Nordics, the ones that look most like us, or we look most like them.
Okay.
Except they're finer featured, and I think that we are direct descendants of that group or a group like them.
And this would be a malevolent group?
I believe so. A benevolent group.
Okay.
Benevolent group.
And who would be just the opposite? Who would be ones that...
Probably the reptilians.
That's the bad boys.
That's the bad boys.
That's what I keep hearing. Yeah. That they are not necessarily our friends.
Right.
That they're manipulating a lot of things on the planet.
I don't know how much manipulation they're doing on the planet. I think that human beings are doing a fine job of screwing themselves.
Just the way it is, right? We're doing a good job on our own. Huh?
Yeah.
Now, you told me when we talked initially, when we were emailing back and forth, that and I've read a little bit about this, but I haven't really listened to much of this, you know, because I don't know what I always believe when I see it on the internet. There's these strange sounds throughout the Earth, right?
Right.
And you actually have recordings of some of them?
Yeah, you can go on YouTube and just Google strange sounds, or go to YouTube and put in search strange sounds. And people, this happens day and night. But sometimes 3 o'clock in the morning, they're awakened by these strange sounds. They grab their video camera and they're scanning the air or scanning the skies, looking for something that a source of this sound, and they have, you know, they can have 12-20 minutes of tape, but it goes on for hours sometimes, hours, and they cannot find, the authorities cannot find the source of these sounds.
What do you, your best guess, what do you think is causing that?
Not a clue.
Could it be a man-made device? Some people will say like HARP is causing a lot of problems. You're familiar with that, I'm guessing.
Yeah. I don't believe that.
You don't believe that HARP is like some kind of weapon?
This is going on all over the world.
Okay.
So
is the Earth coming to an end? Maybe the Earth's groaning from all us being on it?
I don't know. I don't know. It could have something. One speculated that it's coming from the Earth's core and resonating up in there, but it's all in the environment within a certain area. I can play a couple of...
Yeah, I would like to hear those.
Okay, different sounds. Hold on.
It's really hard to tell what that is.
Early, that sounded like a jet engine.
Yeah, or a truck vibrating or something.
Right. But this is taken outside, guy standing on the front lawn, panning around looking for anything, or a jet engine, you know?
That would cause
a jet.
That sounded really loud and close.
Very loud.
Yeah.
And... I'll play this one. This one is a bit different, but and very spooky. Sounds like boat whistles in the middle of a city where there's no water near.
Okay.
Nearby. This one.
You know what that sounds like to me, David?
Now that's a weird sound.
That sounds like the harmonic shift right there.
Harmonic shift.
That's what the planet is shifting. The harmonic
shift.
Yeah,
you know what? It very well could be.
So, you know, the poles are supposed to change. Not necessarily the actual poles, but true north and south are supposed to swap. You've heard about all that, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Pretty much the end of us as we know it, probably. Hmm?
Well, I suppose it would be.
Unless you can hold your breath. Can you hold your breath for a long time?
What would probably happen, and they say that this has happened five times before, is that the Earth has just toppled over where the poles have become the equator and vice versa.
I think we're definitely going through some kind of change. I don't know what exactly it is, but certainly the weather is changing quite quickly.
Right.
And something is going on with the planet. And is it a shift, you know, a conscious shift? Some people say the planet is evolving as well, and it is an actual living thing. And I tend to believe that mm-hmm. perhaps it is a conscious shift with the planet and with all of us as well.
It may well be.
And also, since I got you here, and it's funny because the other day I was watching network TV, and you never see anything truthful or rarely on network TV. It was a Sunday morning. My wife likes to put on this program in the morning, and it's like, you know, they goof around like one of those shows. Like, they're supposed to be newsy, but then they also, they talk to celebrities, and to me it's kind of fluff, you know. And so they showed a picture of a pyramid, a Mayan pyramid, with a light shining out of the top of it.
Right.
And I've never seen that before. And it's from 2009. The fella that took the picture, his family's from California, and they were down there. And he took several pictures, but that was the only one. They were trying to catch the lightning in the background. And when they looked at him, that one picture, just that one, had a light, like a blue beam, bluish beam, emitting up from this Mayan pyramid. Now, you said this goes on all over the world.
Yeah. Different pyramids will just all of a sudden emit this energy beam straight up into the sky from the apex of the pyramid. And if I can plug a website here, it's Linda Moulton House, earthfiles.com.
Okay.
That pyramid is on the homepage right now.
Okay.
And
that Mayan one from 2009, you're saying?
Right, right.
Is that one of the most popular ones recently, or have there been others? Or
there have been others, yeah. And I think you can also Google light beam from pyramid and come up with quite a few. But this guy, I guess, was taking picture, the one you're talking about, looks like he's taking picture of the two little girls in front of
right,
the pyramid.
His kids.
Right.
And they kept posing for pictures, and they wanted to get lightning in the background, which I'm thinking, boy, you don't want to stay out there too long if there's that.
Right. But one of the frames had this light beam in it.
Blue.
And I guess he did not see that beam until he looked at the pictures. But he just happened to catch this flash, boom, beam shooting up. And I've heard that these pyramids were not really for burying kings and what have you.
Yeah, they're not tombs.
Right, they're not tombs. And so what are they for? Just icons? Or I've heard the theory that they are powerhouses for energy. And perhaps this lightning storm that was going on generated it. Perhaps just whatever is in the environment.
That's interesting.
Generated.
Yeah, then why would it happen? Doesn't it happen all the time? And maybe if there's lightning. And, you know, and I had a guest on my show a few years back. She actually had a vision of a previous time that she lived. And she saw, you know, and I've heard stories before, but this was kind of neat. She said she saw, she was being shown, first of all, how to levitate rocks so they could use them to build pyramids. Because there's no way a bunch of guy rolling logs built these pyramids, in my opinion. And then secondly, she saw how these were powering the city that she was entering, and everything was lit up because of these pyramids, and they were drawing on free energy, which I don't completely understand, but it's energy that's right there. It's not something we have to create. It's right there. And my nephew was telling me about this, and he's an engineer, and he said, yeah, we have free energy. We could just pull that right down. We could harness that.
Yeah.
You had a guest on your show that believed the same thing, right?
Well, several of them do. I just had a guest on my show, Dennis Balthasar. He's a historian, and he studied the pyramids, and he'll go into great detail of how these pyramids could not have been built by we humans. The fact that these stones are so heavy, and they would have to, the quarry that they got them from was miles away, and Cecil B. DeMille would have you believe that they floated down the Nile.
Right, exactly.
But how do you get them up there?
Well, you build big ramps or dirt ramps to push them up there.
That's another thing that he said, that by the time you get to the near the top, you would need equipment, even if you did it today.
Mm-hmm.
You need equipment that is heavier than the pyramid.
You know, I go back to the guy in, what was it, Florida City? Was that what the fella lived in, Florida City? And there seems to be some evidence to support this man who built that castle down there back in the, what was it, the 50s? Or, you know what I'm talking about, right, David?
No, I don't.
Down in Florida City, Florida. Isn't that Florida City where people actually saw him levitating the rock?
Oh, yeah.
And he was able to, in just a very short period of time, he built this enchanted area with all these huge rocks, and he was going to get married, and I guess the woman left him, so he still kind of built this monument to her. And he moved these incredibly huge rocks, and people never saw him with any kind of equipment. But there were reports, and I obviously don't have those reports, of people actually seeing him lift things with his mind or no other things around him.
Mm-hmm.
And so I believe that we are capable of if we truly tapped into that part of it. And like this girl that I interviewed, this woman I interviewed, she was being taught in this vision in a previous lifetime how to focus your energy to lift things with our mind, with our energy. So an advanced race maybe helped us do these things so we could build these energy centers?
That would be the guess.
And maybe not just energy centers, but I also heard that these places, you could actually use them for healing. Because there's a, I don't know the way they're designed, but they're like healing centers at one time as well, perhaps.
Yeah, it's the energy that you go inside a pyramid. You take a regular copper pyramid or even a cardboard pyramid. I've seen this experimented with it myself years ago. Put a razor blade underneath the cardboard pyramid with one side facing magnetic north. Mm-hmm. And it's just the right angle of the sides that is necessary, and the fact that one side is facing magnetic north. Put the razor blade under there, and you can use that razor blade again and again and again and again. It seems to keep it sharp.
How does that work? Wow.
Really? How does that work? It's just the energy from the shape of the pyramid.
Yeah, it seems to draw energy in. If there's such a thing as free energy, it draws it in.
Right.
How does it know to sharpen it? Is there like a little...
a little
Bic man or somebody?
Yeah, possibly.
And I've heard also that you could store food in these places and would never go bad. I mean, you hear a lot of things. You can't really prove them. But the part about the light shooting up really makes you understand that this was an energy center. And some people have equated that this is connected to the star people. That these things line up and they shoot a beam to visitors that maybe came from another place at one time.
That's possible, but I think that this particular pyramid, this light beam that came up, the energy beam that came up, was random.
It's a random thing.
Yeah, I think it was something in the environment, perhaps the lightning storm, that kind of switched on the pyramid, so to speak.
And you said this has happened all, has the Giza pyramid, has that ever happened there? Have you ever seen pictures of that?
I don't know. I've seen different pyramids. I don't know if the Giza was one of them. But different pyramids around the world, all of a sudden, boom, shoots a light beam up.
No kidding. That is interesting. And it makes you wonder, it certainly seems like could be evidence that these things were used. Certainly not for what we're told in our history.
Right.
They were used for other things, and it only makes sense. Why would you go through the trouble? And they're all over the world. Mm. Don't you find it interesting that they're in South America? They actually had the mound pyramids in North America.
Mm.
And somebody even claims that there might have been one up here. There's a lady I know that said there might have been one not far from where I'm at.
Really?
Yeah, a mound pyramid type.
And these civilizations didn't know each other.
Yeah.
Their technology or their architects didn't know each other. Where are they getting this information?
Hmm. It's really, I find it very interesting, and I think we're finding out more and more about this all the time. And then I think there's a lot that's being covered up as well.
Oh, yeah.
And why would they do that, David?
Well, I don't know. It reminds me of the Planet of the Apes, you know. The original one.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to like what you find out there, Taylor.
Mm.
You know?
Yeah. Get your hands off me, you stinking ape.
Yeah.
Well, I think there's probably, you know, maybe they're trying to keep us from the way I look at it, David. There are those that really don't want us to find out the truth of who we really are.
No.
And they've kind of kept us in the dark. So we wouldn't realize some things and our past, how maybe there was a time we had a greater understanding. We think we have it now, and I think we're just starting to step back into that. So,
well, throughout history, everybody, scientists seem to think they know everything.
Right, at the time.
At the time.
During the time. But I also see, to me, a little bit of, you know, when I listen to these Egyptologists speak, and it's like they're trying to cover things up. No, that is not what happened. You know, they're so bent on it that this is the way it was. It's a tomb that was built, and it's like they're trying to protect that heritage. Maybe that's why.
I believe so. I think that most of them, anyway, are not really trying to cover up any truths that are not, you know, what we believe or what we've been taught, but it's just what we've been taught, what they have been taught.
Well,
and they're passing it on to the future generation.
But not only that, David, if they, let's say they know there's more than what they're telling us.
Right.
Maybe people would stop coming to see the pyramids. Maybe the truth gets out a little bit more. Maybe we can make our own pyramids. Right. You know, it takes away from what we believe, from what, you know, is working for them now, which is part of their monetary system.
Well, that's possible. But what if you found out for sure that aliens built the pyramids?
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't you want to go see those pyramids?
Yes, I would, David.
Well, then, yes. There you are.
maybe they don't want us to believe that we are connected to aliens too. Maybe there's
that. That's it. That is it. We have this thing that, you know, God created the universe, and we human beings are the crowning glory to His creation.
Mm-hmm.
One step below the angels, and here comes aliens. How do they fit in?
How does this all fit together?
Well, the fundamentalists seem to believe that these aliens are—they believe they exist, but they believe they're demons.
Mm-hmm.
You know, part of Satan. Well, why does something have to be either demonic or divine?
A lot of in between. There could be a lot of in between.
What are we humans? Are we demonic or divine? Well, it depends on who we're talking about, you know.
You know, and it depends on what day of the week it is, because
that's right.
We've all done some things, I'm sure, that could be considered either or, you know.
Yes.
So it depends how we're acting or influenced at that day. So.
Yeah, right. You have a bad hair day, you're demonic.
Or at least you look that way, right?
That's right.
He looks like a devil. I used to have curly hair when I was a kid, and it looked like I'd have little horns sometimes. And my mom would say, "Well, you sure got your horns out today," when I was acting like just a little bit of a trouble. You know how kids are.
Right.
You kind of challenge your mom and don't always do the rules. And, you know, that's part of being a kid, is somewhat to be a little bit rebellious. I certainly wasn't a saint. I don't know about you, David.
Oh, well, we won't go into that.
So, you know, that's a good point that you bring up as far as, and you also wrote the book, The UFO Jesus Connection, which you really believe that there was interaction when Jesus came to be, and
throughout his whole life,
and who knows, in the Old Testament, you know, going back before that, even before mankind kept records, how much this has been going on. You know,
that's right.
They've been a part of who we are. It only makes sense because they've been around a lot, way before Roswell. It seems like there's been reports way before then. So.
Well, that's what the book goes into. I mean, it's not an original idea, but it's just my thoughts and feelings and speculations on our origins and who Jesus was, why Jesus was. I think the spirit of Jesus was divine, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
But was he fathered by a spirit, God? Doesn't make sense.
Well, I mean, if you are the big guy, you could probably do anything that the rest of us wouldn't understand.
Right.
So you would have abilities. I mean, we always think it has to be a physical thing, but just a thought could create things, right?
That's it. I think the basic the premise of the Bible is true, morally and spiritually, and that thought does create material. Therefore, a spirit being God could create the material world. That said, did God father Jesus?
And what are you saying?
Huh?
What are you saying on that?
I'm not saying that he was fathered by an alien, because I think that we were, the human race was created by artificial insemination between a simian creature here on Earth and an alien being, probably what we call alien being. Okay?
Do you think that there's a lot of people that say, and I've heard this more and more, it seems to be coming out now, that we are a slave race that was created to work the planet?
Yeah, that's possible. That's possible. Whatever reasoning behind our creation from these extraterrestrials.
Did you ever interview Zachariah Sitchin?
No.
You ever read any of his material?
I have read some, you know.
That's not something you're interested in?
Well, yeah, I am interested in it because I believe the theory, the basic premise of the theory. How can these ancients have so much information about the solar system?
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're maps of the solar system created way back when. And we did not know much of the solar system.
Yeah,
just recently.
And there's like, you know, there's been, what was the one show I watched? This tribe in Africa. They claimed they had a visitor, and they knew about a star cluster and how to map it before any white people had ever visited them, before any civilized group had come to visit them.
Right.
And I'm sure you know which group I'm talking about. You probably heard about that as well.
No, I haven't heard that one.
You haven't heard that?
No.
It was a tribe somewhere in Africa, and they said the star people would return. So when some people that were traveling or maybe investigating that area, archaeologists, whoever was passing through, they started to refer to them as the star people because obviously they came down in a plane. And then upon further investigation, they came to realize that these people understood a certain cluster of the sky where they claimed these star people were from. And I should really pay more attention on these shows, but you see so many of them, it's like, I forget them. But David, it's been a real pleasure talking to you.
Thank you.
Anytime, I would love to talk some more.
Sounds good.
And your website is ufoimplications.com, correct?
Yes.
If people,
and the archives of the radio show are on there as well.
And you've done 6 million shows, right?
At least. Seems like it. And I've been on for 6 years on the radio.
So most of the shows are about UFO-related items, right?
All of them, yeah.
Pretty much all of them. And you've had your own experience going back to 1962, and we've talked about that before, so people can look up on some of the interviews. But it was really an amazing experience that his whole family had. And at the time, you know, you saw something just shoot through, open up the sky, you said.
Yeah, it seemed like it came through one pinpoint in the sky and just emerged.
And then later on you were to find out that you were taken, but they hiccuped you, they coughed you out.
Yeah.
And he was rejected.
Reject.
The only person I know that's ever been rejected as far as an abductee. And then his sister, though, they took her, so she must have had good blood.
She did, yeah.
And your sister has had more than one experience. And this is what led you down your path. And I think we all, you know, everything that happens to us, you talked about before, a lot of the beings showed this fella, what was his name again? That they showed him an agreement he made with them before
he
came.
David Kaywood.
David Kaywood.
He and Landy Mellis wrote the book, The Other Sky.
So one of David Twitchell and his family and his sister had an agreement before they came here to have this experience. Is that possible?
That's very possible, very probable. And I think all of the alleged abductees, and I say alleged because they make these claims, but I think they have been abducted or have these experiences, contact in one way or the other. I think they all had the agreement before they came to this planet to cooperate. And, of course, our physical brains forget all about that.
We don't remember it. And some people will say, you don't want to know because if you did, you might not follow through on some of the things we're meant to learn. I think everything here is to teach us and so we can learn. To me, it's always love on a greater level, a better understanding of unconditional love.
Right.
And so what may be torment may seem like a torment, it's really to help us expand on that and evolve towards that love. So,
well said.
David, I really appreciate you coming on. Thank you again.
Thank you for having me, TJ.
Music on Out There, created by Kevin MacLeod.